Welcome back to the Valley to Peak Nutrition Podcast. This week is a very special episode, and I'll explain why. Over 75% of the people that listen to this podcast are men, which is obviously a vast majority. So why in the world would I choose to do a podcast called For the Ladies? Here's why. Number one, we started to get a lot of emails from women about their nutrition and their goals, and nearly all expressed the same questions, the same goals, and the same struggles, but maybe didn't listen to the podcast prior to that introductory email. Number two, although 75% of the people that listen to this are men, we get a lot of applications from women whose husbands have said, hey, here's this podcast, here's this program about nutrition that you might enjoy. So we thought it would be great to have perspective from women. And then number three, women tend to see things a lot differently than we do. So although you will hear two women celebrating their stories, which are quite impactful, there are a lot of nuggets and takeaways that they shared that has application no matter if you're a man or a woman. They also share, and it was a question that I had for them, what role can a spouse play if a woman is going through this journey? Now, this can all work on either side of the coin, right? So it's not just about women, it's not just about men, it's not just about wives, just about husbands, but the perspective is unique. Fourth, and maybe most importantly, yesterday was National Women's Day. So I thought, what better podcast to release than this one? And so I am joined today by two ladies, Rachel and Tiff, who have worked with Valley to Peak in the past. Both had tremendous success, one in the program and one who took some information from the program and ran with it on her own. So you're going to get two different perspectives and a lot of really great information from both sides. So without further ado, here is one for the ladies. For you two, if you don't mind, just kind of introduce yourself and then we'll dive into the topics.
Yeah, my name is Rachel Peterson. I am a full-time working mom who works outside the home. I have been married for 10 years. I am a dog rescue advocate and foster mom, currently with our 25th dog that we have fostered and placed. But my favorite title of all is mom. I have two daughters who are 5 and 3.
I am Tiffany Thordahl. I'm from North Dakota. Wife, mother, outdoor fan, fitness fan, all around, like doing a bunch of different stuff. Like you said, I have about 750 jobs because I work around so many different people's schedules. Personal assistant, barista. I own my own editing business. I do copyright freelance. I'm a licensed archery instructor, which is one of my favorite things. And I'm working on getting my certification for fitness training as well, on top of the two beautiful kids that I have full time.
As I ask this question, I'm thinking it'd be really good to lay foundation on kind of your journey to where, you know, from where you started to where you were now. So you gave a great introduction, but even thinking after that, like, so we worked together a little bit through Valley to Peak, but I would love for you to focus on the fact of like where you started and where you are now and how you got there in general.
I had heard about Valley to Peak because you and I had networked through the nutrition program at our previous employer. And I had seen that you had gone independent and followed you on social media from there. And I was probably in the background, just creeping on your social media for probably a year before I even reached out.
Making sure that you were vetting me.
Yeah, well, maybe a little. The reason, and I guess even one of the challenges that I had in deciding when to reach out was when I finally was ready to break the cycle of unhealthy eating. And that came after two pregnancies. I just kind of kept making excuses. You know, after my first pregnancy, I'm going to have another. So what's the point in getting, you know, feeling better or even getting fit when I should be pouring into my family or into my newborn? But it really hit me after my second pregnancy, after having 10 months of extreme vomiting and only being able to survive on starchy foods. I was kind of in this survival after having my second daughter that I didn't know how to get out of that rut. And I think when I got on my feet a little bit postpartum is when I was really comfortable with reaching out, because I was finally ready to commit to that and change my behaviors. So the nutrition part was definitely something I needed help with.
Yeah. To be completely frank with you. So I started my health journey back in, about 2017. My daughter was 2 years old and I had, really, really bad postpartum depression with her. And I gained a lot of weight. I had struggled with weight my whole life. So I, if I'm being honest, like it started way before there, but I had really bad depression, postpartum depression. I had gained a bunch of weight. I was at 300 pounds at that point. That was like the snap that I needed to go, whoa, like I have a daughter. I can't see her. Like I can't watch her see me go through this mental state, this physical state. Like I'm a role model. And so something needs to change in my life. And so that was like my big moment of like, I need to change something. And so I started trying to manage my fitness and manage my nutrition. And I didn't know what the heck I was doing at all. Those things were kind of like a super bad hit and miss for me. You know, I would still use food as my drug when I was emotional because I didn't know like why I wasn't seeing progress or anything like that. But that's where the journey started. And then I ended up finding you because of a friend of mine who we met because of books and just mutual interest in other things. And she had been a client of yours. And I just talked so highly of you, like so highly of you. I was like, okay, I need to know who this dude is. And then just started like consuming all of your free resources. And then I was like, okay, I have to work with this guy.
You found yourself at 300 pounds, you found yourself like just really trying to get your life in order. What specifically did you do to start creating this time? Because I'm sure that like you didn't have more time on your calendar all of a sudden. There's always been 24 hours in a day. Nothing just gets presented to you and falls in your lap. You had to create that. And I'm curious both like the mental piece of that, what did you do to start talking yourself into and what type of conversations did you have with yourself to start making that a priority? And then two, I think it's always helpful to give people like literal examples of what you did. I set my alarm at X time. I put my shoes out. I, you know, whatever those things were, because it helps give people, like I said, examples that they could potentially go follow and implement too.
I tried everything to lose weight. I came to realize at that point, I think, that the things that I was trying, it was like everything all at once. And that's why I couldn't stick with it. You know, like you say, like the yo-yo effect, you lose weight and then you're like, you quit and then you yo-yo right back up. I think at that point, like things started to change in me to realize that like, I had to take this in small chunks. Like, as devastating as that felt to me mentally, I had to take it in small chunks because I can't do like 60 big changes and stick with them. That's just not who I am as a person, unfortunately. Like I can't just cold turkey things sometimes. I mean, I cold turkey quitting cigarettes, but that's completely different. And so like I would change one small habit at a time, right? So like one of my biggest problems, like at that point, was that I really, really liked soda. So instead of like cutting soda completely out of my life, I switched to like bubbly water so that I still had that like sense that I was getting the same thing. And then that progressed into me being able to actually drink more water because I was drinking it anyway and I wasn't drinking soda. And then I was like, okay, well, I need to do better about drinking like regular water. I had little opportunities to change things like that.
Yeah, I think the things that come to mind is we were terrible grocery shoppers. So it was really important to us to, we would plan on Saturday. We would meal plan on Saturday, snack plans for lunches as well. We didn't have kids in school at the time, so we didn't have to worry about, you know, fueling them as well through the day. They were, fed through their daycare setting, but we would plan on Saturdays and then we would shop on Sundays. That was usually done in the morning. And then we would meal prep in the afternoons at nap time and or with the girls when they were able to participate, big enough to participate. So we would spend typically, I don't know, maybe 20, 30 minutes on a Saturday commitment to meal plan, and then whatever time commitment, usually an hour or so to turn and burn to the grocery store to get back. And then again, another half hour, 45 minute commitment to prep things on a Sunday afternoon. As far as other things that were successful for us, and myself in particular, as far as nutrition, is I'm very much an all-day snacker. And I did not realize that until this program. And having more readily available whole foods and or pre-packaged better foods for me was important. So being able to put those into our shopping list on the weekends, making sure that we had those things available, making sure I had those available in my desk at work, because that was where I would find myself, you know, snacking the most with grab and go, whatever's in the vending machine, which more often than not is not the best for me. So making sure that I had my snacks available, as well as our meal prep, were probably the two most important things as far as nutrition. And then as far as exercise goes, you know, that component, like I said, I'm familiar with it, but it goes back to finding the time. I really had to drill into just no more excuses. And even, you know, this far out of the program since graduating, I still am having to do that. It's the last thing I want to do at 5 a.m, but that's when I have the most energy. That's when I'm able to pour into myself with exercise, because I don't have two tiny people trying to get my attention. And I will find every excuse at the end of the day not to do it. So I just know that my personal boundary is I have to exercise in the morning. And then we still to this day have kept up with our daily walks as well. It was a big, big thing. And when we were talking about the nutrition versus exercise levers in the program, when we just need a little bit more burning, we take the kids out on the scooters or we get the dogs ready to go. And one of us will take half the team and one of us will take the other. That way we can all kind of focus on maybe making it a little bit more of an elevated heart rate than not. But that's also something we've continued to do, is our daily walks. Sometimes I do that at work if I have a quick break and need a break from my screen, or more often than not, we do that at home.
I don't know how to say this. I was willing to give myself the grace and the space to not feel selfish with it, because I feel like one of the biggest problems with women, especially mothers, is we feel like if we take that time to make that space for ourselves, we have to feel guilty about it. Like, that's the biggest struggle that I had to deal with. I was like, am I being selfish because I'm taking time to actually create this space for myself to do better? Which is insane, right? Like, it doesn't make any sense that you would feel guilty about doing better, because then overall you're doing better for your family and then it's going to show in everything that you do. But that guilt and that shame is already there. So then I would have to like talk myself into like, this isn't a selfish thing. Like, going for a run after the kid is in bed isn't a selfish thing because the kid's already asleep. One thing that I really enjoy doing is lifting weights, getting a gym membership for myself. At that time, I was like, I don't need a gym membership. That's money that I'm taking away from my family. So then it was a little bit of like talking myself into, okay, but this is going to make you better. And it's not like you're paying for a membership you're not using. You're using it every single day. And if you're more physically fit, you can actually chase your child around, which if you know my children, they don't sit still. They don't sit still at all. They are very, very outdoorsy. They are very hyper and active and wonderful human beings. Okay, if I want to chase Freya around and I really want to be doing this, I can talk myself into this little thing. So it was just, it was taking it like a little bit at a time. Like I couldn't do it all at once. I just had to talk myself into it a little bit at a time. And then eventually, you know, the full realization of like me being healthy and happy has only positively influenced my kids, because my daughter would see it and be like, "Mom, you're so happy. You're smiling all the time. Like, you have such good friends," you know? And that, like, obviously that was another thing too. Like, I surrounded myself with amazing people. You have to defeat that little voice in the back of your head telling you like you can't do this or you shouldn't do this with like little nuggets of hope, like little nuggets of discipline throughout the way.
Did you find that it was just more difficult overall in terms of getting a return on the time that you invested with nutrition training, et cetera, after you had kids as opposed to before? Meaning that's something that you'll often hear, or that we'll often hear women say, is it's like, man, once I had kids, it was just so much harder. Did you find that to be true? And now having had walked through it, do you feel like you know what the difference between what you had been doing versus what you did when you found success was?
Yes, and yes. I think that everything's harder after having children in lots of great ways and lots of challenging ways. But I think one of the biggest challenges for me since having my daughters is the time. And this is kind of one of my excuses for a number of years is, I that time should be spent not pouring into myself. You know, like almost like my priority I should not have been the priority at the time after having babies. We definitely deprioritized ourselves as a couple, my husband and I, and then as individuals, and kind of put the girls on our top priority. So everything fell to the wayside. You know, our work suffered, our marriage suffered, our schedule suffered, but those kids were thriving. And as soon as we realized how imbalanced things were and we could kind of look at things and put our time and our effort back into it, it kind of opened up what was going to be our new norm. That food was going to be a big, important part of our day, because we are growing little people. Whereas maybe before we didn't have two tiny people watching what we were eating all the time. So that was also a factor that really kind of played into us making a prioritized commitment to nutrition. The part that really clicked for me as when I knew I was going to be able to be successful is when my daughters were noticing too, like, we're eating our protein. This is what makes us full. We're getting our nutrition in. You know, we can't snack all day. That's something I feel like every toddler parent has had to say. So we definitely felt like we were invincible pre-children. And again, it isn't because we didn't maybe have the knowledge, but I definitely think that the time commitment afterwards was just different after having kids.
What did you do at first to talk yourself into, look, like you acknowledge the fact, look, I do feel this way. I do feel guilty. That is true. However, this is also something that I know that I need to do. Were there things that you personally did or told yourself that gave you the permission you needed to begin doing that? And or were there conversations that you had with your spouse where you guys just created the time so you could go do it?
Yeah, I am fortunate in the fact that most of the time I was able to have the support of my husband in this adventure. I know not a lot of people are as lucky. He tried to create the space for me when he could. Like, obviously I still go to the gym at very weird hours of the day and he's on kid duty when I do that. So, you know, like not a lot. Some people don't have that support. So that support has obviously like made a huge difference. But other than that, I think it was putting myself in situations where I had other people to kind of challenge my mindset. A huge part of my journey has succeeded because of the community that I have built around me. And not all of it was like in person. Getting started, I had a group of people around me. Like I said, it was just a Facebook group, and it was like, we want to keep each other motivated on the days when it's really, really hard to. On those days when I was like, you guys, I can't give myself permission to do this, or I don't really want to go do this work. I had one person or another, you know, even you sometimes were like, hey, the 5 inches between your head are the hardest to beat, and like, you got to get that figured out or it's never going to matter. I think having somebody to remind you, like, this is something that you want to do, don't give yourself an excuse. Like, as harsh as that might sound sometimes, like somebody telling me, you've made this plan for yourself and you're not going to follow through, that's not cool. That's completely on you at that point, you know? And so like, I just kind of had to take responsibility for that in the moment and be like, okay, if I'm not going to go do this at this point, it really is on me. There's not an excuse anymore. Like, the things that I'm fighting in my head aren't excuses that I should be allowing.
Sure. I might throw him under the bus a little bit. You know, Nicholas had initially started the program with me, and we had anticipated doing it together. And short of a few weeks in, we found out that was not going to work for him. You know, we were just at two different places in our health journey, and I was ready to go, and he was not ready for the type of program that I was going to do. So he jumped off. And I will say, I was expecting him to not be supportive at all after that, just for the amount of effort it was going to take at home with me, with my tracking and my exercise. And, you know, maybe we were going to omit our comfort food meals more often than not. I thought for sure that he wouldn't be as supportive, but it was quite the opposite, actually. You know, he would hold me accountable when I needed it, but give me the space to be able to make those choices for myself, because I am a very hard-headed type A personality. But, you know, more often than not, he knows when not to say anything. From a practical standpoint, he would help joining me in the meal prepping. You know, he'd help me with slicing veggies. He'd pull the kids up to participate in that. If we needed to divide and conquer and parenting took priority over grocery shopping, he would take one and I'd take the other. He would support me in ways that maybe weren't directly nutrition related. Or one thing that he still does to this day, which, you know, sometimes at 6 o'clock in the morning is not something I want to do, but he'll ask, how was your workout? And I'm like, it was terrible. I don't ever want to do it again until Thursday. You know, so it's one of those things where he's kind of giving me that indirect accountability and supporting me in that way. But through the program, I definitely think that he would never pressure. That was one thing for me. He would never pressure. Also, when I started the program, I had stopped drinking alcohol, not for any reason other than it was a personal decision. And he was very supportive of that. We still have a network of, you know, friends and things that meet monthly, and alcohol is a big part of the social gathering, and it's just something I don't partake in. But it was never pressured from him to like, why don't you drink this? You know, I know you're not drinking, but why don't you just try this? He never pressured me in that. So that was one way I felt really valued in my decision of doing, you know, taking care of myself, is he's taking care of me indirectly by just, you know, supporting me and comments, and but also giving me the space to do what I need to do.
Earlier, you had said you started to take things, or like one of the areas you started to see consistency is because you started to do things in small chunks. I know this is probably very open-ended and hard to narrow down, but was there one, like, if you could look back and say there was one specific thing that you remember as being that small chunk that had the biggest effect on you starting to see consistent progress? What was it?
Okay, so as dumb as this is going to sound, I think the way that the first, like, easiest little chunk that I talked myself into that made the biggest difference for me is I would force myself to work out in front of the TV. Because at that point, like, half of my problem was that I had a Netflix addiction, right? Like, that's, we get stuck in this rut of, like, binging TV. And so I'd be like, how do I not have time when I'm sitting here just literally watching TV, scrolling on my phone? And so I would force myself to do these, like, home workout things that I would find on, like, Pinterest, right? And that, I think, probably sparked it the most, because I'm sitting there doing these workouts and I'm like, to me, I'm still giving myself the thing that I wanted, but I'm forcing myself to do the thing I don't want. And then eventually, like, those two things flopped a little bit, right? Like, eventually I was like, I don't want to sit here and watch TV. I want to actually go for a run, or I want to go to the gym and lift weights. Or there would be days when if I didn't go, I was more upset. Like, if I sat in front of the TV, I would just hate it, because I was like, I didn't move my body. Like, I don't feel like I even accomplished it, you know? So as dumb as it is, like, the biggest thing that made a difference for me and, like, sparked my need to actually move my body was just sitting in front of the TV and moving my body.
I've been thinking about it a lot, and I don't know, and maybe it's not just unique to me, but maybe unique to working women and mothers in general, or people in general, but back on the topic of time, for me, it was taking, like, an internal dive into my time prioritization and realizing that, you know, after a really unhealthy work-life balance for 8 years, that maybe that contributed why I wasn't taking care of myself physically, like not exercising, not eating well, only eating junk that was quick to grab, things like that. So being able to kind of delve in that this is probably an internal topic that needed more address than just the nutrition aspect. I think when I started peeling back those layers and working through, like, is my career bringing me joy? Am I able to enjoy things at home? Where can I cut things that aren't making me happy and serving me? I was able to take that time commitment and pour it back into my home and meal prepping and spending time with my family, involving my kids in prepping as well. So I think that was the most challenging part, is what can I cut in order to make this commitment a priority? And that involved leaving my job after 8 years and really kind of refocusing and going through all the things. I think the other challenge that I went through is when to break the unhealthy cycle and when to reach out for help. I know I just briefly mentioned on that, but I think for me, after having such a terrible second pregnancy, I don't want to say it was maybe a trauma response, but I just kept my poor eating from my pregnancy overlapping into my postpartum experience. You know, I was afraid to go back and try certain things that maybe would have caused vomiting episodes during my pregnancy. I was afraid to move away from safe foods, if you will, that were otherwise safe in my pregnancy, but not maybe the best for me. You know, I was giving caloric intake, sure, to be able to grow baby, but not the best stuff to fuel myself. And that actually went into my first year of postpartum, to where I knew that it wasn't sustainable. I wasn't going to be able to live off crackers and, you know, Cheerios for the rest of my life, since that's a lot of what I was able to keep down during my pregnancies. So I think those are the top two for me, is when and how much time is it going to be of a commitment.
You had a big goal and we said, yeah, well, maybe let's just give you the education and then you can finish it on your own. 12 months later, I'm still getting messages of, like, you progressing. Just kind of talk about that sequence of change, even when you were on your own, and kind of where you're at now.
You know, I credit so much of who I am, like, today at from you in that point of my life, because it just, like, all of those small goals that I kept meeting and your program, the thing I love is, like, you never bullshit, right? Like, you hate buzzwords. You aren't about, like, this, I'm going to sell you some magic pill bullshit. You were always straightforward with me. And so, like, you would walk me through these goals and we would meet them and just keep going together. And that way of moving forward, like, just completely impacted my mindset, like, how I did things. It was such a fundamental change in who I was as a person at that point. It pulled me out of what I would say was a victim mindset, because I had let myself fall into that, you know, woe is me, like, I can't do this, some people just aren't built for this, like, and that's kind of where I was at. And it was like, I started your program and you were like, nope, that's not how it works. We're going to do this. We're going to do this together. And we're going to stop making excuses. And, like, it just completely changed the way I thought about everything and the way that I progressed in doing things moving forward. So yeah, like, I still credit you all of the time for where I'm at. And still send people to you constantly.
Well, I take no credit for that, but I wanted to lead to this. It goes from being a story where we tell ourselves we don't have enough time, yet then we find it, and ultimately what we buy back is time. Meaning, like, now you have the energy to go do all of these things that you want with your family. You find yourself surrounded by people who only drive that more. And it's almost like by finding a little bit of time, you've created more time doing things that you've loved. You've got the energy to be able to go from dark to dark, right? Waking up, doing the things that you need to get done on the health end of things. Then you work your job, then you've got time for the kids. And then, right, I mean, energy wise, it's like by investing a little bit of time, you get more time back, and it's quality time doing stuff that you love. So I love that. I think it's great. And it's a great message. One final question that I would have for you is, if somebody's listening, if you saw somebody on an elevator, whatever, someone's listening, they find themselves either in the same boat that you described being in, any piece of advice you would pass along to them on getting started and being consistent?
The biggest thing that you need to get started is to figure out why you want to get started. So, like I said, I had, like, reached a breaking point where I was like, something has to change. And, you know, like, it doesn't have to be that extreme. You don't have to get to that point to understand why you're doing it, but you have to have an honest conversation with yourself. You have to look at yourself and be like, why do I want to do this? Why have I not succeeded in the past? And what can I do to set myself up for success with this? Because I feel like having that honest conversation with myself was the first step to me being like, okay, this is something that I can actually somehow fit into my life.
I actually was thinking about this yesterday because somebody had asked me, you know, why had somebody said something to you that had initiated your journey in losing weight and finding out your nutrition? And it was simply that you are of value and are worth pouring into. And I had somebody tell me that shortly before I had actually reached out to you, that I am of value and I am of, you know, making sure I'm fueling myself so I can fuel others.
I appreciate you joining us. I know everyone who hears this will too. There's a ton of great nuggets in there. You do not have to put your social media handles on here, but if you're open to people reaching out to you, feel free to say where they can find you.
Yeah. So the only thing that I really use is Instagram. I try and avoid anything else. So if you would like to get a hold of me, I am on Instagram at Tiff, T-I-F, Thordahl, T-H-O-R-D-A-L.
No, I'd be happy to share and interact with anyone who can, who feels like reaching out. I can be found on Instagram at sew.many, M-A-N-Y, dot dogs. And forewarning, it is so many dogs on that thread, but I do share my exercise and fitness journey as where there as well.
Perfect. And I will link your tag or handle or profile or whatever in the show notes so people can just click that, find it easier. And thank you. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for sharing everything. It's great to hear from you. Great to hear that you're still doing good. And I think that there will be a lot of folks take some great stuff from this. I want to say thank you to both Rachel and Tiff for joining me, taking the time to join me, being patient as I edited this and got it out to you guys. I hope that you all enjoyed it. If you have any questions or you want to reach out to them, they had mentioned how to contact them in the podcast. I will also link those, a direct link to their social media pages in the show notes, so you don't have to go searching for it if you do not want to. We will have part two of the listener Q&A here in a couple of weeks, which is basically a continuation of that episode that we did with artificial sweeteners, except for this dives into totally different topics about nutrition in the mountains, how to adjust backcountry nutrition, what to look for in a bar if you're interested in taking bars into the backcountry. I will say, after having it edited that podcast, I think maybe one of the most interesting things that comes up is why I do not care about calorie density when it comes to backcountry nutrition. You hear a lot of people aiming for 100 calories per ounce and they're talking about calories, but Mike did a really good job asking questions that led us to talk about what specifics you should aim for when trying to plan your backcountry nutrition plan. So we'll release that one again here in a couple of weeks. If you have any questions, please do not hesitate to send those to me at info@v2pnutrition.com. We love covering what you want to listen to more than me trying to find something. So please don't hesitate to send those to us. We would be more than happy to help. If you are interested, we are doing another cohort for our Foundations Plus program that starts in April the 2nd. And it runs a grand total of 11 weeks. We have more than half of those seats filled. There are a couple still open as of the release of this. If you're interested in that, there's information on the website. If not, there is a boatload of free information on the website too that you might find helpful. So we will talk to you again in a couple weeks. Appreciate you tuning in.